One, God bless you today.
Buenos días a todos. Dios los bendiga.
It's a joy and a privilege to be able to teach God's word today.
Para nosotros siempre es un gozo poder compartir la palabra de Dios con ustedes hoy.
Let's pray before we begin.
Oremos.
Almighty God, thank you, Lord, for the joy to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for letting us just be here together as a family in Christ. And so, Lord, we pray as we come before you to bring your holy word to the people. Lord, we ask that you would give Christian and I unity as we preach your word together. Lord, use us today. Empower us by the power of your spirit, Lord. Let it be for your glory and for your honor. And Lord, as we preach, we ask that you would also speak to our hearts and the hearts of the people that hear. And Lord, you would do a great work today, Lord. Not just here, but in every church, in every gathering of Christians, even where two or three are only gathered, Lord, all around this world, even where there's a persecuted church, Lord, we pray that as your word goes out, that it will do the work that you have sent it out to do, that you will open the hearts of the lost and bring them to Christ today, that you will feed your people, Lord God, and you will edify the saints to do the work of the ministry. We pray, Lord, you do it for our joy, Lord God, and for your glory, O God, and for the salvation of the lost. We ask you bless our pastor as he's away, and bless Brother Jaime as he brings your word also down in the church in Maryland where he's preaching today. And just ask your blessing, Lord, for these things. Open our hearts to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the last time we got together in 1 Samuel, we were in chapter 18.
La última vez que nos reunimos estuvimos en el 1 Samuel, capítulo 18.
And today we'll be in chapter 19.
Y hoy estaremos en el capítulo 19.
And in chapter 18, we saw how the Lord himself begins to raise up David and bring down Saul by giving David, if you remember, he gave him four gifts.
So vimos en la semana pasada, en el capítulo 18, como el Señor mismo levantó a David y trajo para abajo a Saúl, dándole a David cuatro regalos.
Now, if you were here, you remember that the first thing he gave David in chapter 18 was the gift of a faithful friend.
Si lo que viste, el primer regalo que le dio en el capítulo 18, el Dios a David, fue un amigo fiel, Jonathan.
And that godly, faithful friend was Jonathan.
Y ese hombre, el amigo piadoso fue Jonathan.
Second gift the Lord gave him was a loving wife, Michal.
La segunda regalo fue una esposa amorosa, Michal.
And the third gift that the Lord gave David was success and favor with the people.
El tercer regalo que le dio Dios a David fue favor con el pueblo.
And the last gift, a strange kind of gift, the Lord gave David an enemy for life in Saul.
Y el último regalo que le dio a David, un poco extraño, fue un enemigo como lo fue el rey Saúl.
You might be thinking, as we did the last time, why did the Lord allow David to be so targeted and hated by Saul?
Sí, como vimos la semana pasada, ¿cómo Dios permitió que David fuera tan odiado y sea del objetivo?
I mean, what did David do to Saul to make him hate him so much?
¿Qué le hizo David al rey Saúl para que él lo odiara tanto?
David had only done good to Saul.
David lo que le hizo fue un buen a Saúl.
You ask yourself, you know, why does our loving, all-powerful, sovereign God allow enemies and dangers and sickness and hurts come into our lives?
¿Te has preguntado por qué un Dios todopoderoso, soberano, permite enemigos o peligros o enfermedades o hasta heridas que vengan a nuestras vidas?
Well, there can be several reasons.
Pues pueden haber varias razones.
But as far as David is concerned, we can see that the Lord was making David into the man of God, into the king that God wanted him to be.
Pero cuando se trata de David, podemos ver cómo Dios está formando a David, formándolo como un rey, el rey que él quería que él fuera.
God was using the difficulties in David's life, specifically the hatred of King Saul, to mold David into the image of the king that he wanted David to become.
So lo que pasó con Saúl y David fue que a través de odio y esta guerra, Dios estaba moldeando a David para que fuera el rey que él quería ser.
If you remember, The Lord said that he was choosing a man that was after his own heart.
So si te puedes acordar, Dios estaba buscando un rey que fuera complaciente al corazón de David o semejante al corazón de Dios.
He was making a king that would need to be the opposite of the king that they already had, which was the failure, really, of King Saul.
Él estaba buscando lo opuesto al rey soberbio que tenía, o algo más compasivo como lo fue David.
A king that would be humble, dependent, and compassionate.
Un rey que fuera humilde, compasiente.
And for whatever reason, the Lord chose to allow King Saul a certain measure of freedom, really, to pursue David.
Y si puedes ver, Dios le dio un nivel de libertad para perseguir a David.
And this is the first part of it. This goes on really for the next 10 chapters.
Esta es la primera parte, pero esto continúa a lo largo de los 10 capítulos.
And Saul is pursuing David and becomes so close so many times to being able to capture and kill David, but he's never able to do it.
So Saul siempre estuvo bien cerca de conseguir a David y matarlo, conseguirlo y asesinarlo, pero no lo logró.
In fact, in this chapter we're going to look at today, Saul comes close 4 times to capturing and killing David.
Y en este capítulo que veremos hoy vamos a ver cómo casi 4 veces estuvo cerca de matar a David, pero no pudo.
And we're going to look at the first 2 today, and the other 2 we'll look at in a different message.
So vamos a ver los primeros 2 y los próximos 2 los veremos en el próximo mensaje.
But each time God protects David.
Pero cada vez Dios protege a David.
And each time the Lord uses a different person or a different method to come in and protect him.
Y de la manera que lo hace es a través de diferentes métodos o diferentes personas para protegerlo.
When we look at this, we can see God's perfect and powerful sovereignty over all of our life's affairs.
Y lo que puedes ver es como Dios es perfecto y soberano sobre lo que pasa en la vida de los creyentes.
Not just David, but ours as well.
No solamente David, pero nosotros también.
We can also see God's great love for David and also for us.
También podemos ver ese gran amor que le tiene Dios a David como a nosotros.
So if you have your Bible today, please stand as we're going to read through chapter 19.
So si tiene su Biblia, pónganse de pie, vamos a leer, empezar en el capítulo 19.
And I invite you to read along with me on the screen or in your Bibles in Spanish as I read in English.
So te quiero invitar a leer, a que siga, va a estar en las pantallas en español, yo lo voy a estar leyendo en inglés.
1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 1 through 24.
Primera de Samuel, capítulo 19, 1 al 24.
And Saul spoke to Jonathan his son, to all his servants, that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, Saul, my father, seeks to kill you. Therefore, be on your guard in the morning. Stay in a secret place and hide yourself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak to my father about you. If I learn anything, I will tell you. And Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, Let not the king sin against his servant David, because he has not sinned against you, and because his deeds have brought you good to you. For he took his life in his hand and struck down the Philistine. And the Lord worked a great salvation for all Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood by killing David without cause? And Saul listened to the voice of Jonathan. Saul swore, As the Lord lives, he shall not be put to death. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan reported to him all these things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, was in his presence as before. And there was war again. And David went out and fought with the Philistines and struck them with a great blow, so that they fled before him. Then a harmful spirit from the Lord came upon Saul as he sat in his house with his spear in his hand, and David was playing the lyre. And Saul sought to pin David to the wall with a spear, but he eluded Saul, so he struck the spear into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul sent messengers to David's house to watch him, that he might kill him in the morning. But Michal, David's wife, told him, If you do not escape with your life tonight, tomorrow you'll be killed. So Michal let David down through the window, and he fled away and escaped. Michal took an image, and she laid it in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair on its head and covered it with clothes. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, Oh, he's sick. And Saul sent the messengers to see David, saying, Bring him up in his bed, that I may kill him. And when the messengers came in, behold, the image was in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair on his head. And Saul said to Michal, Why have you deceived me thus to let my enemy go so that he has escaped? Michal answered Saul, He said to me, Let me go. Why should I kill you? Now David fled and escaped, and he came to Samuel at Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went to live at Naoth. And it was told Saul, "Behold, David is in Naoth in Ramah." Then Saul sent messengers to take David. And when he saw the company of the prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as head over them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. When it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they also prophesied. And Saul sent messengers again a third time, and they also prophesied. Then he himself went to Ramah and came to the great well that is in Sekou. And he asked, "Where is Samuel and David?" And one said, "Behold, they are at Naoth in Ramah." And he went there to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God came upon him also. And he, as he went, he prophesied till he came to Naoth in Ramah. And he also stripped off his clothes, and he too prophesied before Samuel, and lay naked all that day and all that night. Thus it is said, "Is Saul among the prophets?" Now, what a story, huh? All right, you may be seated.
Se pueden tomar asiento. Qué historia.
We're going to look at all that stuff about the prophets and all that next time, but let's get started with what we're going to look at today.
Vamos a ver la historia de los profetas en el próximo, pero vamos a entrar a lo que es el sermón de hoy.
So just as we saw that the Lord had given David four gifts in chapter 18.
Así como vimos que el Señor le dio a David cuatro regalos en el capítulo 18.
You can see here that he also gives David another gift.
Se puede ver aquí que Dios le dio otro regalo a David.
In this chapter, the Lord gives David the gift of his personal protection.
En este capítulo, Dios le dio el regalo de la protección de Dios a David.
If you're good, you're taking notes, and you'd like to take some notes today, there's going to be four ways that God protects David in this chapter.
So si quieres, si estás tomando notas, hay cuatro maneras, voy a estar demostrando cuatro maneras en las que Dios protegió a David.
So verses 1 through 7, the Lord protects David through the intervention of Jonathan, his godly friend.
En el versículo 1 al 7, el Señor protege a David a través de la intervención de Jonatán, su amigo piadoso.
In verses 8 through 10, the Lord protects David through his own sovereign intervention.
En el versículo 8 al 10, el Señor protege a David a través de su propia intervención soberana.
In verses 11 through 17, the Lord protects David through the intervention of Michal, his loving wife.
En el versículo 11 al 17, el Señor protege a David a través de la intervención de su amada esposa Michal.
And in verses 18 through 24, the Lord protects David through the intervention of the Holy Spirit and the prophet Samuel.
Y en el versículo 18 al 24, el Señor protege a David a través de la intervención del Espíritu Santo y el profeta Samuel.
So let's look at the first way that God protected David.
So vamos a ver la primera manera en que Dios protege a David.
So the Lord protected David through the intervention of Jonathan, his godly friend.
So el Señor protege a David a través de la intervención de su amigo piadoso Jonatán.
In verses 1 through 3 we read, "And Saul spoke to Jonathan his son and said to the servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told Saul, 'My Saul, my father, seeks to kill you. Therefore, be on your guard in the morning. Stay in a secret place and hide yourself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak to my father about you. If I learn anything, I will tell you.'"
Y esto lo vemos expresado en el versículo 19, capítulo 19, versículo 1 al 3, donde dice, "Saúl dijo a su hijo Jonatán y a todos sus siervos que dieran muerte a David, pero Jonatán, hijo de Saúl, apreciaba grandemente a David, y avisó Jonatán a David diciendo, 'Saúl, mi padre, procura matarte. Ahora pues te ruego que te alerta por la mañana y permanezcas en el lugar secreto y te escondas. Yo saldré y pondré al lado de mi padre en el campo donde tú te encuentres y hablaré con mi padre de ti. Descubro algo, te avisaré.'"
So here we witness the Lord's first way of protecting David.
So estamos viendo aquí como el Señor la primera manera protegió a David.
If you were here in some of the other messages, we talked about the friendship that David and Jonathan had formed.
En sermones anteriores he expuesto como esta amistad entre Jonatán y David.
It was a very strong and godly friendship.
Esto es algo, esta amistad es algo fuerte, algo piadoso.
It was built on a common love for the Lord that was really rare in Israel at this time.
Estaba construido en un amor mutuo hacia Dios, algo que era raro en el tiempo de Israel.
And we were challenged at that time to ask the question, do we have a godly friend?
Y fuimos exhortados a cuestionarnos, ¿tenemos amigos piadosos?
And the value of the gift that God gives when he gives us a friend that loves the Lord and is willing to help us grow in Christ.
Y el valor que tiene un amigo piadoso que quiere buscar de las cosas de Dios.
And am I that kind of friend to someone?
O si soy yo un ese tipo de amigo para alguien.
But unfortunately, some modern commentators have tried to allow, in this passage, they see really something sinful, a relationship between Jonathan and David that is wrong and sinful.
Ahora, esto, hay muchos comentaristas modernos que han tratado de interpretar esto de manera pecaminosa y parafrasearlo.
Because they misinterpret the phrase where it says Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David.
Porque ellos ven esta frase malinterpretada como Jonatán, hijo de Saúl, apreciaba grandemente a David.
They want to make room for a sinful lifestyle by claiming that David and Jonathan had a physical relationship.
Y de esta manera quieren hacer cuarto o espacio para una vida pecaminosa, diciendo que David y Jonatán tenían una relación pecaminosa, una relación física.
But nothing could be further from the truth.
Pero esto no puede ser cerca de la verdad.
The phrase there, delighted much in,
la frase apreciaba grandemente,
is used 29 times in the Old Testament.
Está usada 29 veces en el Viejo Testamento.
While two of those occurrences do speak of the physical desire for a woman, between a man and a woman,
a pesar de que dos de estos encuentros de esta palabra sí aparece de un deseo físico entre un hombre y una mujer.
One was Hamor, when he was trying to marry, he actually raped her, was Dinah, the sister of the daughter of Jacob.
Esto pasa cuando Hamor en la relación donde él pudo haber sido quería violarla.
The other time was when King Ahasuerus had a desire for his concubines.
La otra fue cuando el rey Asosur tú tenías un deseo por sus concubinas.
But the other 27 times it is mostly used of God's love and desire for his people.
Pero las otras 27 veces es usada presentando el amor de Dios hacia su pueblo.
As it is in Isaiah chapter 62 verse 4.
Así lo dice en Isaías 62:4.
Micah 7:18.
Miqueas 7:18.
And Numbers 14:8.
Y Números 14:8.
And Numbers 14:8 says, and here we see the word, if the Lord delights in us, that's the word there, if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into the land and give it to us, the land that flows with milk and honey.
En Números 14:8, si el Señor agrada de nosotros, esa es la palabra usada aquí, agrada de nosotros, nos llevará a esa tierra y nos dará. Es una tierra que emana leche y miel.
It's even used of the Lord's desire to accomplish our salvation.
Esta palabra también usada como el deseo del Señor de cumplir su salvación.
Through the sacrifice of his own son in whom he delighted.
A través del sacrificio de su hijo en quien él se deleitó.
The prophet Isaiah speaks of Christ in chapter 53:10 when he says, yet it was the will of the Lord, and that's the word right there, the will of the Lord, the desire of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief.
Y el profeta Isaías expresa esta misma palabra en Isaías 53:10 cuando dijo, pero quiso el Señor quebrantarle, pero quiso. Él, eso fue voluntariamente, el Señor quiso quebrantarle sometiéndole a padecimiento.
So don't let anyone deceive you. Don't let anyone try to deceive you thinking that the Lord is allowing for some sinful relationship in his holy word.
So nunca pienses que el Señor ha permitido o pensar que el Señor permite este tipo de relaciones pecaminosas.
He is not.
Él no lo
Every
hace.
Indication we have of Jonathan and David is that their friendship is a pure and godly friendship built on mutual love for their Lord.
La indicación de Jonatán y David y su relación es todo basado en el amor de Dios, una relación que es piadosa.
And they shared a close spiritual brotherhood that drove them closer to God.
Y ellos crearon una hermandad cercana el uno al otro.
As fellow soldiers and servants in God's kingdom.
Ellos eran hermanos en la guerrilla y hermanos en la fe.
And so we should also seek to build such relationships.
Y así nosotros también debemos buscar a relaciones como
esa. In this passage, we see that the Lord used this friendship to protect David and to bring him back into favor with Saul.
Y vemos que esta relación fue usada por Dios para traer cerca a David y a Saul.
Now, Jonathan knows full well that his father Saul wants to kill David.
Jonathan sabe claramente que Saúl quiere matar a su amigo David.
But he also knows that David has done nothing to Saul, but only good he has done for the kingdom.
Pero también se da cuenta que David solamente ha querido el bien para Saúl y el bien para su reino.
But Jonathan also knows that his father Saul is a killer.
Pero también Jonathan sabe que su padre Saúl es un matador.
And would not even stop from killing him, his own son, as we saw back in chapter 14. Now, if you remember back in chapter 14, what happened between Jonathan and Saul?
Pero que también su padre también lo mataría a él, como lo vimos en el capítulo 14 anteriormente.
If you remember at that time, Saul had made a foolish oath that anyone that was to eat anything that day would have to be killed, no matter who it was, because they were chasing their enemies and they couldn't stop.
So Saul sabe que declaró que Jonathan, que cualquiera que comiera algo o hiciera algo innecesario iba a morir.
And Jonathan was the one who had gone with his armor bearer, remember, up to the top of the mountain, and he fought against the Philistines, just him and his armor bearer, and they brought about a great victory of the Lord.
So sabemos que fue Jonathan quien trajo al escudero desde la montaña y batallaron con los filisteos y ganaron la guerra.
If you remember, when he hadn't heard the command of Saul.
Él no había escuchado el mandamiento de Saúl.
He was busy fighting the enemy.
Él estaba muy ocupado peleando con los filisteos, sus enemigos.
So the Lord brought about a great victory.
So el Señor trajo una gran victoria.
And on the way back, Jonathan saw some honey. He put his staff into the honey and he ate the honey.
So en su regreso, Jonathan vio esa rica miel y puso su espada sobre la miel y comió de ella.
And then he encouraged the others to do so.
Y también le dijo a los otros que lo hicieran.
And because of that, when King Saul found out, King said, "You must surely die, Jonathan."
Y cuando Saúl se enteró, claramente le dijo, "Tú deberás morir."
And it wasn't for the soldiers who recognized that it was Jonathan that the Lord used to bring about the great victory. They were like, "No, you can't." They rescued Jonathan out of Saul's hands.
So cuando supieron que querían matar a Jonathan, los soldados mismos dijeron, "Pero si él nos acaba de traer a esta victoria, ¿cómo lo vas a matar? No lo maten."
And now it is Jonathan's turn to try to save his comrade David.
Y ahora es el turno de Jonathan de tratar de salvar a su camarada David.
So after he receives the command to go and kill David,
después de recibir su mandamiento, ve, mata a David.
Knowing that his father could turn on him and even kill him.
Sabiendo que su papá se puede retornar en contra de él y matarlo a él.
But knowing that he needs to stand up for what is right.
Pero sabiendo que él tiene que pararse por lo que es verdad.
He stands in the gap between his father and David.
So él se para en el espacio entre su papá y David.
And he says in verses 4 and 5, Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, "Let not the king sin against his servant David, because he has not sinned against you, because his deeds have brought good to you. For he took his life in his hand when he struck down the Philistine, and the Lord worked a great salvation for all Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood by killing David without cause?"
Y luego dice en el versículo 4 y 5, entonces Jonatán habló bien de David a Saúl, su padre, y le dijo, "No peque el rey contra David, su siervo, puesto que él no ha pecado contra ti, y puesto que sus hechos han sido de mucho beneficio para ti, porque puso su vida en peligro e hirió al filisteo, y el Señor trajo una gran liberación a todo Israel. Tú lo viste y te regocijaste. ¿Por qué pues pecarás contra sangre inocente, dando muerte a David sin causa?"
Now note here that Jonathan makes his appeal with three important ingredients.
Ahora Jonathan hace su apelamiento aquí con tres ingredientes importantes.
With respect, truthfulness, and appeal to the sovereign hand of God.
Con respeto, con verdad, y con un apelamiento a la soberanía, a la soberana mano de Dios.
Whenever we are making an appeal to someone, especially someone that is in authority over us,
cuando estamos haciendo un apelamiento a alguien que tiene autoridad sobre nosotros,
we also need to speak in that way, a way that's respectful, truthful, and appeals to God.
Y tenemos que hacerlo de la misma manera, una manera que es respetuosa, llena de verdad.
And what was the result of that?
¿Y cuál fue el resultado de esto?
That Saul actually listened to his son. He repented of his sinful words and actions, and even swore an oath that David would not be killed.
Y que lo que pasó fue que Saúl sí escuchó a su hijo, se arrepintió de sus acciones y de sus palabras, y hasta juró un pacto con David que no lo mataría.
And in this way, David was protected from Saul and Saul's men that had been commanded to kill David.
Y de esta manera, David fue protegido de Saúl y de los hombres de Saúl para que no mataran a David.
So my question for you today is, have you ever been in danger or in trouble and didn't know where to turn?
Si la pregunta para ti hoy es, ¿has estado tú en algún peligro o algún peligro o un problema y no has sabido a dónde tornar?
Our godly friendships are one of God's ways that he uses to help protect us from the enemy's attacks.
Y amigos piadosos es la manera en que Dios nos ayuda a protegernos de los ataques del enemigo.
As we are tempted to sin against God,
así cuando estemos tentados a pecar en contra de Dios,
it's an attack of the enemy to destroy our testimony, to destroy our usefulness before for the Lord.
Los ataques del enemigo para manchar nuestro testimonio.
Our godly friend can speak words of strength and godly wisdom to us.
Amigos piadosos hablan estas palabras de fortaleza y una sabiduría piadosa.
Maybe to calm us down or to wake us up to what is right at that moment.
Quizás para calmarnos o para despertarnos, esto es lo verdadero y lo correcto.
This is especially true in godly friendships or in marriages.
Esto es verdad en amistades piadosas o en el matrimonio.
We must help each other to see through the lies of the enemy.
Tenemos que ayudarnos mutuamente a ver sobre las artimañas y las mentiras del enemigo.
Sometimes it's very hard to see in the middle of a circumstance because you can't see clearly because everything's kind of hitting you at once, to see clearly what God is directing in that moment.
So es bien difícil a veces cuando está todo abrumante o abrumador de ver en medio de las circunstancias la dirección en la cual Dios te está llevando.
Sometimes our emotions just get so wrapped up into the situation that we don't even want to do what we know is right.
Muchas de las veces nuestras emociones toman lo mejor de nosotros y no sabemos en realidad cómo o qué hacer.
But when a godly friend steps in and is able to speak truth to our hearts,
pero cuando la amistad piadosa se para de frente, trae claridad al asunto.
They can help us to see through that fog of the enemy's lies and to make a better decision.
Nos puede ayudar a ver sobre lo que está opaco y llevarnos a la dirección piadosa.
Even as it says in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13.
Así como dice en Hebreos 3, 12 al 13.
It says, take care, brothers, lest there be any of you an evil and unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. Listen to this. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin.
Ten cuidado, hermanos, no sea que en alguno de vosotros haya un corazón malo de incredulidad para apartarse del divino Dios vivo. Mira aquí, antes exhortaos los unos a los otros cada día, mientras todavía se dice hoy, no sea que alguno de vosotros sea endurecido por el engaño del pecado.
So let's keep in close contact with each other.
So vamos a mantenernos en contacto los unos con los otros.
Now it's not going to be with everybody, of course.
No te tienes que reunir con todo el mundo, claro.
But one or two friends that you know love the Lord.
Pero uno o dos personas que sí aman al Señor.
And be able to talk to each other about our weaknesses.
Y por favor, hable de tus debilidades los unos con los otros.
So that we can be used of the Lord.
So que podamos ser usados por el Señor.
As Jonathan was used by God to protect and encourage Jonathan and David to protect and encourage one another in times of need.
Como el Señor usó a Jonatán para animar a David los unos con los otros.
Well, not only did the Lord protect David through intervention of a godly friend.
No solamente el Señor protegió a David con la intervención de un amigo piadoso.
But the Lord also protected David when Saul attacked him again with his spear.
También lo protegió en contra del ataque de Saúl con su lanza.
Sounds familiar, right?
Suena familiar.
That's what happened twice in the last chapter as well.
Porque pasó ya dos veces en el capítulo pasado.
So while David was David had two jobs in the life of Saul.
So David tenía dos trabajos en la vida de Saúl.
The first was to go out and fight the enemies of Saul.
El primero era ir a la batalla y matar al enemigo.
Saul made him a captain over 1,000 men.
Saúl lo hizo capitán sobre miles.
And then when he came home from the battles,
entonces cuando regresaba de la batalla,
he had to grab his 10-string lyre, you know, his present-day guitar.
Tenía que traer su arpa, lo que modernamente se llama la guitarra,
and to sing worship songs in the presence of Saul.
Y cantar alabanzas en la presencia de Saúl.
You might remember in chapter 16 when David was anointed as king.
Tú te puedes acordar en el capítulo 16, David fue ungido por Saúl.
Remember, it was done in secret because Saul would have tried to kill him.
Se tuvo que hacer en secreto porque Saúl lo quería matar.
It says that the Holy Spirit came upon David.
Dice que el Espíritu Santo se descansó sobre David.
And he left Saul.
Y se fue de Saúl.
And said that a dangerous spirit came upon Saul.
Y dice que un espíritu de peligro vino a Saúl.
Whenever this kind of spirit, and it said that that spirit was from the Lord.
Y lo que dice es que este espíritu también vino del Señor.
So figure out that in the sovereignty of God, right?
Trata de entender eso bajo la soberanía de Dios.
And if you remember how God is sovereign over even the evil spirits to be able to send and do whatever he commands.
Como Dios es soberano sobre todo espíritu y potestad para hacer lo que le plazca.
Just as Christ was when he was on earth and commanded the demons to depart.
De la misma manera Cristo lo fue en su ministerio en la tierra cuando mandaba a los demonios a salir.
So whenever this harmful spirit would come upon Saul.
So cuando este demonio venía sobre Saúl,
he would begin to rage in his house.
So ese espíritu venía y él estaba en furia.
And David had the wonderful privilege to be there and play his harp.
Y David tenía el privilegio de estar en medio de eso tocando su arpa.
Now David had already been attacked twice by Saul.
Ya David ha sido atacado dos veces por Saúl.
And in the sovereignty of God, he escaped both times.
En la misma soberanía de Dios escapó dos veces.
And in humbleness of spirit, David goes back into the same situation.
Y en espíritu de humildad vuelve a caer en la misma situación.
And as he's playing and singing to the Lord,
y ahí al estar cantando y adorando al Señor,
Saul is fingering his spear in his hand.
Ya Saúl estaba meneando su espada en la mano.
And as it comes, as David is playing, the Bible says in chapter 19, verses 9 and 10,
mientras tocaba esto en el capítulo 19, versículos 9 al 10,
it says, then a harmful spirit from the Lord came upon Saul as he sat in his house with a spear in his hand, and David was playing the lyre. And Saul sought to pin David to the wall with a spear, but he eluded Saul, so that he struck the spear into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night.
Y vino un espíritu malo de parte del Señor sobre Saúl, y estaba él sentado en su casa con su lanza en mano mientras David tocaba el arpa, y trató Saúl de clavar a David en la pared con la lanza, pero este se escurrió de la presencia de Saúl y la lanza se clavó en la pared. David huyó y escapó aquella noche.
You can see David, he must have been fearful, he must have been frustrated, angry. Like, how could Saul do this to me again?
Como tú puedes pensar cómo estaba David, furioso, cómo él se atreve a hacer esto de nuevo.
Lord, Lord, what are you doing?
Señor, Señor, ¿qué me haces?
The Lord was molding David into the image of the king he wanted him to be.
Dios estaba moldeando a David en la forma del o el rey que él quería que él fuera.
So we can clearly see in this passage that the hand of the Lord himself was protecting David.
Se puede ver claramente la mano del Señor soberana protegiendo a David.
If you learn anything about Saul, you probably learned by now that he's a very large, powerful, and skillful warrior.
Si sabes algo de Saúl, o si no lo sabes, él era un hombre poderoso con muchas destrezas, un guerrero de muchas destrezas.
In most any situation, Saul should have been able to pin David to the wall with no problem at all.
So en cualquier situación era fácil para él pillarlo de la pared y matarlo.
In that small room, David was unarmed, unarmored.
Un cuarto pequeño, David no tenía armadura.
But God would not have it so.
Pero Dios no lo permitió.
If you read one of David's Psalms, in Psalm 144, verses 1 and 2, this is what David says about battle.
Si lees uno de los salmos de él, el 144, 1 al 2, esto es lo que él tiene que decir.
He says, blessed be the Lord, my rock. Listen, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He is my steadfast love and fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer, my shield, in whom I take refuge, who subdues people under me.
Mira lo que dice, bendito sea el Señor, mi roca, que adiestra mis manos para la guerra y mis dedos para la batalla, misericordia mía y fortaleza mía, mi baluarte y mi libertador, escudo mío, en quien me he refugiado, el que sujeta a mi pueblo debajo de mí.
In this Psalm of David, we can see that David attributes all his skill and battle not to himself, but to who? But to the Lord who trains his hands.
En este Salmo de David, vemos quién David le atribuye sus destrezas. No es a él mismo, sino al Señor quien entrena sus manos.
And you can see this in the last two chapters that we looked at, how David's ability in battle was given to him by God.
Y puedes ver esto claro en los pasados dos capítulos, donde claramente se ve que Dios le da estabilidad a David.
When David threw that stone with his sling, and with one stone he brought down the giant Goliath.
Cuando David con una piedra y una onda le da a Goliat.
When David went out to battle as a captain over 1,000, he came back every single time victorious.
Cada vez que él iba a la batalla, él era galardón de 1,000 y regresaba con victorias.
To the point where it says the Philistines feared him.
Hasta el punto donde decían que los filisteos le temían.
So was it David's great skill that made him such a perfect aim with that sling?
So eran las destrezas de David que lo hacían perfecto en esta puntería.
No way.
De ninguna manera.
The whole point of the battle with Goliath was that David was not their champion, but that the Lord was their champion.
El punto de la batalla de David y Goliat no era que David era el campeón, sino que Jesús, Dios, era el campeón.
It was God Almighty who guided that stone to go the only place it could go to kill Goliath. He had a helmet on. He had a shield bearer in front of him. He was covered with thick armor. And God just said, nope, sorry, buddy. Bam! And it hit him right exactly where it needed to be and dug into his brain and it killed him.
El único que podría dirigir esa piedra para que le diera a Goliat donde tenía que darle, él tenía toda su armadura, era bien grande, y Dios dirigió esa piedra y le dio en el mismo centro de la frente.
And just to make sure, David took out that giant sword and said, cut his head right off.
Y para asegurarse, le cortó la cabeza de Goliat.
Was it because David had practiced and practiced and practiced and he just got so good at it he could hit the fly off of a tree branch? Is that why?
Eso no era porque él estaba practicando tanto que le podía dar hasta una mosca en un pedazo de palo o de árbol.
That's not what David says.
Eso no era lo que David decía.
David says it was the Lord who trains my hands for war.
Él decía que era el Señor que entrenaba sus manos para la batalla.
When you go out in the forefront of the battle and you're the first one in the battle in the very front and the enemy is charging at you, you have to fight hand to hand just to survive a whole battle, and you survive battle after battle after battle after battle after battle. David says, it wasn't me. He says, it was the Lord who trains my hands. When I stepped out of the way of that sword and it went past me over here and then I ducked the one over here, he says, that's the Lord. The Lord was protecting me. He was using me.
Cuando el Señor enviaba a David al frente de la guerrilla y él tenía que pelear combate cercano vez tras vez tras vez tras vez que venía victorioso, quizás la espada se la lanzaban y él se esquivaba todas esas destrezas, él decía, no provienen de mí, esto proviene del Señor.
And that's exactly how he avoided Saul.
Y esa es de la misma manera que evitó a Saúl.
When I first started studying this chapter, I had put in there as the heading for that section that the Lord protected David through his own ability. And I'm thinking, that can't be right. So I started thinking about it and doing more study. I'm thinking, no, it's not his own ability. It's the Lord was protecting him.
So cuando estaba preparando esto, decía, esto no puede ser la habilidad de David, sino me entendí que esta era la habilidad dada por Dios.
Now, does that mean the Lord doesn't use our own abilities?
¿Eso no quiere decir que el Señor usa nuestras propias habilidades?
Yes, he absolutely does.
Sí, claramente sí.
Does that mean the Lord doesn't use our own training?
¿Eso no quiere decir que el Señor usa nuestro entrenamiento?
He absolutely does.
Claro que lo usa.
He puts it all together in his sovereignty that his will be done.
Él lo usa todo junto para su soberanía.
So this is actually the third time that Saul tried to make a pincho, you know, a shish kebab out of David.
Sí, esta es la tercera vez que Saúl trata de hacer un pincho con David.
And each time he failed and David escaped.
Y cada vez que lo intenta, falla matarlo.
And why is that?
¿Por qué será?
Because the Lord himself protected David.
Porque el Señor mismo protegió a David.
Question is, does the Lord always protect us?
La pregunta es, ¿Dios siempre nos protege?
Think about that question. Does the Lord promise to always protect us?
Piensa en esa pregunta. ¿El Señor promete siempre protegernos?
Who says yes?
¿Quién dice sí?
Who says no?
¿Quién dice no?
Who says I'm too scared to raise my hand?
¿Quién dice estoy muy asustado para levantar mi mano?
All right, it's a tricky question. But the answer really is yes until our work is done.
Es una pregunta muy difícil, pero sí, hasta que su obra esté completada.
Until your work for the Lord is finished.
Hasta que tu trabajo para el Señor sea completado.
Nothing can destroy us.
Nada nos puede destruir.
The Apostle Paul in his last letter to Timothy tells him about his appearance before the emperor and how the Lord used and protected him.
El apóstol Pablo en su última carta para Timoteo dice sobre esta apariencia cuando él fue delante del emperador como el Señor lo protegió.
He says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 16 through 18, that my first defense no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May I not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and he strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed that all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. And the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed. Here he says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
En 2 de Timoteo 4, 16 al 18, Pablo dice, en mi primera defensa nadie estuvo a mi lado, sino que todos me abandonaron. Que no se les tenga en cuenta, pero el Señor estuvo conmigo y me fortaleció a fin de que por mí se cumpliera cabalmente la proclamación del mensaje y que todos los gentiles oyeran. Y fui librado de la boca del león. El Señor me librará de toda obra mala que me trae y me trae a salvo al reino celestial. A él sea la gloria por los siglos de los siglos. Amén.
All right, you say, all right, I'm invincible.
Claro que sí, soy invencible.
Nothing can happen to me.
Nada me puede pasar.
Oh. However.
Oh, por ende.
You probably are wondering about the life of Paul. Maybe you remember that he came close to death how many times?
Si te puedes pensar en la vida de Pablo y cuán cerca de la muerte él estuvo.
Remember the beatings that he went through. Remember the shipwrecks that he went through. Remember him bitten by a serpent and almost died.
¿Te acuerdas las palizas que le dieron, los barcos que se derrumbaron, hasta la serpiente que lo mordió?
And you remember when Paul first came to Christ and he had the scales over his eyes and Ananias came to him and he prayed for him.
Cuando el Señor lo tumbó del caballo y él tenía las escamas sobre los ojos, que Ananías tuvo que venir a orar por él.
All right. Ananias prayed and the Lord had told Ananias, he said, tell him that I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.
Oh, y cuando Ananías estuvo orando, que Dios le dijo a Ananías, dile cuánto él va a padecer por mí.
So when they strung him up again for another beating, he was like, oh man, here it goes again.
Cuando lo amarraban para otra golpiza, él decía, aquí va de nuevo.
But, so there's, yes, the Lord will protect us until it's time for us to go home.
Sí, el Señor nos protegerá hasta que sea el día de irnos a casa.
But there will come times of difficulty.
Pero vendrán tiempos de dificultad.
But as we serve him faithfully, we can trust him that he knows what he's doing.
Pero mientras sirves fielmente, confía de que él está para ti.
And that we have his presence with us all the time.
Y que tenemos su presencia todo el tiempo.
Sometimes he calls his faithful servants home earlier than others.
A veces él llama a sus sirvientes fieles a casa más antes que a otros.
You may remember in the book of Acts that it was James, the first one of the apostles that was killed with a sword, executed.
Si se acuerdan en el libro de los Hechos, Santiago fue uno de los primeros apóstoles que fue matado a una con la espada.
Remember, Peter was going to be next.
¿Se acuerdan que Pedro iba a ser el próximo?
And he was in the inner, remember, he was in the inner prison, and he was all locked up, and there were four guards and four other guards, and there were 16, I think, all together. What happened?
¿Se acuerdan que él estaba en la prisión y sobre la prisión habían como cuatro soldados y como cuatro más, un total como de 16 soldados?
The Lord sent one angel, walked right in there, took Peter out of there.
El Señor envió un ángel a través de todo y lo libertó.
Wasn't his time.
No era su tiempo.
And if you remember, how about the Apostle John?
¿Y qué tal del apóstol, el apóstol Juan?
Probably lived into his 90s.
Ese vivió casi hasta los 90 años.
So we don't know how long the Lord gives us here.
So nosotros no sabemos cuánto el Señor nos da aquí en la tierra.
And that's really not our business.
Y tampoco es en nuestro asunto.
We just know that he loves us, he cares for us, and he won't let anything happen that's too hard for us.
Y sabemos que él nos ama y que él no va a permitir nada tan grave que nos suceda.
Remember what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13.
Recuerda lo que dice en Primera de Corintios 10, 13.
It says, no temptation has overtaken you, but that is common to man. And God is faithful, that he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you might be able to endure it.
No ha sobrevenido ninguna tentación que no sea común a los hombres, y fiel es Dios que nos permitirá que vosotros seáis tentados más allá de lo que podéis soportar, sino que con la tentación proveerá también la vía de escape a fin de que podáis resistirla.
Glory to his name.
Gloria a su nombre.
And all that passes in the life of a faithful Christian will be used for God's glory.
Y todo lo que le pase en la vida al creyente es usado para la gloria de Dios.
And will work together for good in our sanctification.
Y obrará todo para bien en la obra de santificación.
Some verses from Romans chapter 8 that some of you I'm sure have memorized.
Aquí está el versículo 8, capítulo 8, versículo 28 y 29 de Romanos, que muchos de ustedes ya quizás son familiares.
Powerful promises from God.
Una poderosa promesa del Señor.
In verses 28 and 29, he says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers.
Versículos 28 y 29 de Romanos 8 dice, y sabemos que para los que aman a Dios, todas las cosas cooperan para bien. Esto es, para los que son llamados conforme a sus propósitos. Porque a los que de antemano conoció, también los predestinó a ser hechos conforme a la imagen de su Hijo, para que Él sea el primogénito entre muchos hermanos.
So we can trust the Lord with our lives.
So podemos confiarle al Señor nuestras vidas.
And we can serve him in any and all situations.
Y podemos servirle en toda situación.
Knowing that our lives are truly in his hands.
Sabiendo que nuestras vidas de verdad están en sus manos.
This even applies to those who may serve in difficult circumstances.
Y a pesar de que esto implica hasta los que sirven en posición en momentos difíciles.
There are millions and millions of human beings on this planet who do not know the name of Christ.
Hay millones y millones de personas en este mundo que no conocen el nombre de Cristo.
They live in that 1040 window in the Arab world and in parts of Africa.
Ellos viven en esta ventana de la parte de arriba de Asia.
And they need to know the Lord.
Y ellos necesitan conocerle al Señor.
And who is going to go and tell them?
¿Y quién va a ir a decirle?
Maybe it'll be you.
Puede ser tú.
Maybe it'll be your children.
Quizás pueden ser tus hijos.
Or your grandchildren.
O tus nietos.
Are you willing to let them go into such a dangerous place?
¿Estás dispuesto a dejarlos ir a estos lugares peligrosos?
Maybe the Lord is even calling you to go.
Quizás el Señor te está llamando a ti ahí.
They need Christ.
Necesitan a Cristo.
We prayed for the Gibellos.
Acabamos de orar por los Gibellos.
They went to a very difficult place, Papua New Guinea.
Ellos fueron a un lugar bien difícil, Papua Nueva Guinea.
There's a lot of satanic action going on there.
Hay un montón de actividad satánica pasando ahí.
And a very difficult place to share the gospel.
Y es un lugar bien difícil para compartir el evangelio.
But if you remember when they were here, they went with joy.
Pero si te acuerdas cuando estaban aquí, su gozo.
And they went trusting that God would protect them and use them for his glory.
Y ellos se fueron confiando que Dios los iba a proteger y a usarlos para su gloria.
So it is with every missionary who leaves for the mission field.
Así es con todo misionario que se va a la misión.
Sometimes it's the parents or the grandparents who say, no, don't go, don't go. It's too dangerous.
A veces son los papás o los abuelos donde dicen, no, no vaya, es muy peligroso.
And it's true, I can understand that.
Y es verdad, yo puedo entender eso.
My parents drove me down to Florida and put me on a plane when I was 21 years old, and I flew to South America for a year.
So, así me hizo mi mamá a los 17 años, me montó en un avión y me mandó para el sur de Florida.
And it's difficult to let your kids go.
Y a veces es difícil dejar que tus hijos se vayan.
But if they don't go, who will go and tell the world?
Pero si ellos no van, ¿quién irá a llevar ese
mensaje? We can trust that the Lord will protect them.
Y podemos confiar que el Señor los va a proteger.
Because until their job is done, they are invincible.
Y podemos confiar que hasta que su trabajo no esté completado, ellos no corren riesgo.
Will they suffer?
¿Sufrirán?
Probably.
Probablemente.
But the Lord has a plan and a job for them to do.
Pero el Señor tiene un plan y un trabajo para cumplir.
Maybe you.
Quizás tú.
So let's trust the Lord with our lives.
Vamos a confiar al Señor con nuestras vidas.
For the rest of us who are going to stay here in the U.S.
Para los que vamos a quedarnos aquí en Estados Unidos.
Can we trust the Lord with the difficulties of our everyday lives?
Podemos confiar al Señor con las dificultades del día a día.
Can we trust him when things are not going well?
Podemos confiarle cuando las cosas no estén yendo bien.
We have difficult people in our lives.
Cuando tenemos personas difíciles en nuestras vidas.
We have difficult losses.
Cuando tengamos pérdidas grandes.
When we feel lonely.
Cuando nos sentamos solos.
And discouraged.
Desanimados.
Can we trust him through the storms of life?
Podemos confiarlo a través de las tormentas de nuestras vidas.
Oh yes, we can.
Oh sí, podemos.
Our Savior loves us.
Nuestro Salvador nos ama.
He promises to be the shepherd, the good shepherd that goes with us all throughout our lives.
Él promete ser el pastor que nos pastorea a través de nuestras vidas.
Even through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear evil because he is with us.
También en la sombra del valle de muerte no temeremos porque él es fiel.
Glory to God.
Gloria a Dios.
I want to bring you one warning today.
¿Serían?
One warning, I'll bring a warning.
Oh, quiero darte una advertencia hoy.
You have to be careful with what you hear on the radio, on TV. Many preachers are preaching more or less a prosperity gospel.
Ten mucho cuidado con lo que escuchas en las redes sociales, en la televisión. Hay un movimiento llamado el Evangelio de la Prosperidad.
And they always focus on the portions of Scripture that are very, very positive.
Y ellos siempre se enfocan en las porciones de las Escrituras que son siempre bien positivas.
And they're always telling people, you're a champion for God, you're a champion for God.
Y siempre se pasan diciendo, tú eres un campeón para Dios, un campeón para Dios.
You're one of God's kids, he doesn't let anything happen to his kids.
Tú eres un hijo de Dios y Dios no va a permitir que nada le pase a los hijos de Dios.
Is that true?
¿Es eso verdad?
You know that every one of the apostles was killed for their faith, right?
Sabemos que cada uno de los apóstoles fueron matados.
You know that Jesus said to his disciples, "Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head."
Sabe que el Señor le dijo a sus discípulos que las zorras tienen cuevas. What was the other one?
And the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests.
Y los aves del aire tienen nidos, pero el Hijo del Señor no tiene donde posar su cabeza.
All his life, he was born in poverty. He lived in poverty and he died in poverty.
Toda su vida él vivió en pobreza, hasta murió en pobreza.
Paul said, "I know how to get to be content with whatever I have."
Pablo dice que yo he aprendido a tener contentamiento en cualquier situación que me encuentre.
Whether I'm hungry or well fed.
Si tenga hambre o esté bien alimentado.
And so, I just want you to beware and be careful about those who are always claiming that Christians don't have problems. Christians, it's just amazing. The life of a Christian is just, you should be happy all the time. Everything is great, yes. And you got to be careful with that, because when difficult times come, you'll say, wait a minute, I thought you just told me everything was going to be great. What's going on here?
Tienes que tener mucho cuidado con esas personas que dicen, todo te va a salir bien, la vida del cristiano es lo más excelente, no te preocupes, nada te va a pasar. Y cuando algo malo te pase, cuestionas entendimiento de Dios.
But we do better to listen to what God has already proclaimed about us in his holy word.
Pero hacemos mejor en escuchar lo que ya él proclamó en su santa palabra.
That no matter what difficulties we go through, He is with us, He loves us, He cares for us.
Que no importa las dificultades que nos encontremos, Él nos ama y Él tiene cuidado de nosotros.
And He will walk with us through any danger.
Y Él caminará con nosotros sobre todo el peligro.
We just read the scripture that says, all things work together for good for those that are called according to His purpose.
Sabemos que leímos el versículo donde dice que sabemos que para los que aman a Dios todas las cosas cooperan para bien.
But that means that the promise is only for those who are the ones who have come to Christ.
Pero claramente eso es para los que han venido a Cristo.
For those who have bowed their knee to follow Christ.
Aquellos que han doblado la rodilla al señorío de Cristo.
Not just the ones who believe in Jesus.
No solamente los que creen en Jesús.
But the ones that follow Jesus.
Pero los que siguen a Jesús.
Jesus said to the crowd that was with him.
Señor le dijo a el Jesús le dijo a la multitud que le rodeaba.
John chapter 6, he said, "You must eat my blood and eat my flesh and drink my blood."
Él le dijo, deberías comer de mi carne y beber de mi sangre.
And he wouldn't make bread for them.
Y no le hizo pan para ellos.
And so they all left.
So todos se fueron.
The whole crowd just was like, "You're not what we thought you were."
Todo el mundo se fue, no creemos que eres lo que dices que eres.
And he said to his 12 disciples that were left.
Y le dijo a los 12 discípulos que quedaban.
He said, "Are you guys going to leave me too?"
¿Ustedes me van a dejar también?
And Peter said, "No, Lord, you have the words of life."
No, Señor, tú tienes las palabras de vida eterna.
So not everyone that's in the crowd, that's in the church building or that says they believe in God, that's not what makes you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is following Christ.
Que no todo el que cree que porque está dentro de la iglesia es un seguidor de Cristo, sino es el que sigue a Cristo.
Salvation is by grace through faith.
Salvación es a través de la gracia por fe.
But it's a repentant faith and a real faith.
Pero es una fe que da arrepentimiento.
If you feel like you need to talk to someone today,
si necesitas hablar con alguien sobre tu fe,
please feel free to talk to us after the service.
Por favor, habla con nosotros antes de cuando se acabe el servicio.
Maybe you realize you've been in the church since you were little, or you've believed in God, but you haven't bowed your knee to follow Christ.
Quizás has pensado como has nacido y has crecido en el evangelio, conoces al Señor.
That's actually the testimony of many people that come to Christ.
Es el testimonio de muchos de los que siguen a Cristo.
Well, I used to go to church when I was little. My grandmother brought me in. I've always believed in God.
Yo fui a la iglesia desde pequeño. Yo siempre he creído. Mi abuela me trajo a la iglesia.
But if you followed Christ,
pero si tú sigues a Cristo.
Is He your Lord, your Master?
Él es tu Señor. Si Él es tu Señor o Él es tu Señorío.
Or maybe you're going through a difficult time.
O quizás estás yendo por un momento difícil.
You're a believer and you're trying to figure things out.
Eres un creyente y estás tratando de realizar algunas cosas.
Or temptation has gotten a hold of your life.
O la tentación ya ha tomado de tu vida.
You feel caught in some sin.
Te has sentido atrapado por el pecado.
Find a godly friend.
Encuentra un amigo piadoso.
Find someone that will pray with you, will talk with you, will give you good direction.
Encuentra alguien que ore por ti, que te anime o que te dé buena dirección.
You can certainly reach out to us as leaders.
También puedes acercarte a nosotros como tus líderes.
We're here for you and we love you.
Estamos para aquí y te amamos.
There are people in your small group who love you.
O las personas de tu grupo pequeño.
Reach out to them.
Anímales a hacerle un acercamiento.
Pray and ask God to give you a godly friend.
Ora y pídele al Señor que te dé amigos piadosos.
Next time we get together,
la próxima vez que nos reunamos,
we'll have an opportunity to look at the second two ways that God protected David.
Vamos a ver las otras dos maneras en que Dios protegió a David.
We'll get to hear about Saul prophesying and falling on the ground and craziness.
Vamos a ver cómo Saúl profetiza.
About David's wife letting him down through the window and all that stuff.
Y la esposa de David lo rueda por debajo de la ventana.
Let's
fuera
pray.
De la ventana. Oremos.
Lord God, thank you for this time in your holy word. Thank you, Lord, for the joy of being able to just be able to interact with your word, Lord God. We praise you, God, for having mercy on us and for sending people our way to hear the gospel. We pray, Lord, for any person here that might think that they might have a desire, Lord, to possibly go to the mission field, even for a short term or for a missions trip, Lord God. And Lord, you might be working in their hearts, Lord God, to serve you in that way. Open the door for them to go. Provide for them, Lord. Let them get the help that they need. If there's anybody here, Lord God, who just needs a faithful friend, a godly friend, Lord, we pray that you'll provide that for them. We pray, Lord, that we also ourselves would be faithful friends. And Lord, we would open up our hearts and our lives to others. We pray, Lord, for anyone here that doesn't know Christ today, who come to Christ today, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and for your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen.